so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 947 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. Had a couple weeks off here. Work's hectic, as always. But I wanted to get a couple episodes in before the end of the year. So we're going to do like three weeks in a row of episodes here, and maybe a fourth week in a row. I'm trying to think. So 47, 48, and then 49. I'm going to try and have 49 be the Christmas episode. And then 950 is going to be a bigger spectacular with Tom. So then 951 is going to have to be my best of 2025 episode, which is fine because it gives me a little bit of time to, catch up on trying to read some stuff. Man, my whole book, section of the end of the year is going to be pretty pathetic. Even though I've read some good shit, it's just, I haven't read much. Read the novel that I'm teaching my grade 10s about four times. But other than that, haven't had much time to read. Anyway. So you're going to get some, Dread Media in your ear before the end of 2025. But what's coming up this week? Well, this week we are celebrating one of the great movies of 2025. Dwayne and I are sitting down and talking about the brand new horror film from the dog's perspective, Good Boy. We're going to give our review on that. There's a couple of, it wasn't like audio issues necessarily. It was like connection issues. So there's a couple times, both of them are when Dwayne is speaking. So if you think that Dwayne is like being abrupt and possibly like cutting himself off and summing things up, no, it's that we lost our connection and then he started over. Sometimes Zoom is not the best. And that review, had some issues, but it's a good review of a good film. So check that out. Gonna play some tunes. Gonna come back and do my Dread Media top 5 favorite fictional dogs, maybe? Is that how I'll put it? Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get there. In the meantime, let's play some tunes. I'm gonna play some Man's Gin. One half of the American black metal band Cobalt. Man's Gin is sort of, it's like Americana stuff. It's hard to, with still sort of like a folk metal, black metal kind of spine to it. But yeah, this is Man's Gin. And the song is Smiling Dogs.
Flies thought of smiling, and all the while my chest was pounding, eating the books and the words of old men, gleaning thoughts from trapped people below, and running across their faces. Disgracing their kin and kind. The sky's driven from my hands. When the gasping for air, grasping gray hair that fell out long ago beneath the one you love most. Clogging mind drains and choking wood. The dripping flies watched all your crying. Men are gone, the willows are whispering. Brass women pass by to watch the dogs lie. And all the men once thought of is honest. The sky's dripping from my
I'm here once again with my friend Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey there, Des.
How's it going?
Not too bad. I've been thinking of, well, I kind of just moved to a new place here. And
that's right.
It's good. It's good and stuff. But it also kind of reminds me, I kind of miss the sound of, four paws, tapping out across the floor.
Right.
It's been probably about, I don't know, I think it's been about 7 years now since my dog passed away. And I just can't, it's been tough. It's kind of like a thing where you're like, you know, do I want to go through that again? Or like, am I going to be comparing the different dog? I don't know what. I just have a tough time getting over them. But, but sometimes
you think, right? There's, you know, they're family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, so I've been kind of thinking about that again. And, I also wonder if maybe, there's some truth to the fact that maybe, that dog could detect some kind of, evil, some kind of a dark presence or something. It kind of be a guardian of the house kind of thing. Not even so much from, burglars or whatever, but just, barking on that shadow in the corner, strange noise in the crawl space or whatever.
Well, you see a lot of that with I watch a lot of those like spooky TikTok compilation videos on YouTube because I'm an old man. I don't follow them on TikToks.
Right.
and some of those do have dogs freaking out on something that's seemingly not there.
Huh.
It's always a little unnerving.
I know, but maybe there's something to it. Maybe they could save our lives.
Maybe.
They
would certainly be a good boy in that instance.
Yeah. And a good, the best boy. And, and a great idea for a horror movie.
Indeed. Yeah. We were, the moment this was announced, you and I were like, yeah, we're definitely going to cover this one. And then it went from being a Shudder exclusive to being a theatrical film. So they pushed back the Shudder release. So waiting for that. And then now it is out on Shudder. It is called Good Boy. It is, directed by Ben Leonberg, I believe is how you would pronounce that. And it's funny because I think Indy is his dog.
That would make a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Cause, I saw some headline here. Or no, it's in trivia. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there's a bonus behind the scenes segment after the credits with the director disclosing the challenges and rewards of working with his dog as the main actor.
Yeah.
And
it makes sense.
Shooting took 400 days over 3 years because, well, it's a dog actor. Goddamn. Okay.
Oh, my God. Huh. I didn't know that.
That's kind of interesting. That kind that of is. Explains a little bit to me. Let's talk about Good Boy. Did you want to synopsize it? I mean, it's sort of synopsized already in what we were talking about there.
Yeah. Basically, there's, you know, very few characters. You know, basically there's a man, you know, a male, named Todd, and, Indy is his dog. Mm-hmm. And then, Todd, I think for the most part, we just kind of hear the voice of his sister, who is Vera. Mm-hmm. And then there's, but anyway, basically, so Todd is, living in some kind of, you know, just unnamed city. It doesn't really matter because the dog doesn't care what city it is. and basically, yeah, he's got some kind of a serious, health issues. And basically, you know, decides, just to kind of get out of the city and go live. I guess he inherited his grandfather's house, which is kind of out in the woods, right, in the country, and his late grandfather's house, and then basically he just moves into the house with his dog, and it seems like there is something not right, some kind of evil presence there. So
yeah,
that's about it.
So. Yeah, and it's told from the dog's perspective.
Yes.
It's not, you know, not camera wise, but
no,
as our POV character is Indy, played by Indy, playing himself in this movie.
that is exactly like what, you know, we could maybe get into this a little bit later. Like there's been, you know, many, horror movies where usually it's like a dog kind of like, you know, warns people about something and then hopefully gets away. Maybe it's, maybe he gets done in by like a, you know, masked killer or something like that. Or the dog itself is like, you know, I don't know what, some kind of experimental dog that like, you know, either like, right, you know, right, like a cyber mastiff or whatever, some kind of like killer dog.
Man's or
like
best friend or whatever. Is that what that
one's
called? Yeah,
exactly. or like a dog that's somehow associated with, like I think Dean Koontz's Watchers. Yeah. Like when there's like a dog that's kind of like almost like leads the monster kind of to people kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so we've seen all that kind of stuff before. This one, you know, even just in the early promo materials, is basically like, this is a movie like where a horror movie where the dog is the protagonist, is just the easiest way to say it. And, you know, the amazing thing about this movie is like, it really fulfills that in my opinion. In terms
absolutely.
Of, yeah, like it's like, you know, all of the information that we get in the movie is only kind of what Indy, who's our protagonist here, both the actor's name and the character's name, I guess.
And again, he's playing himself.
Yeah, exactly. As you know, and I kind of think we should probably start up an Indy fan club, actually. But but Indy is everything in the movie is basically like kind of from Indy's point of view. So basically, you know, like, anything that, say, like, we hear a character saying in dialogue is only kind of within earshot of whatever Indy would hear, you know?
Yeah.
So we kind of have to kind of figure out exactly what's going on. You know, same thing with a lot of the, like, you rarely see people's faces and stuff. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's more mm-hmm. like just looking at them as, like, this is Todd, my owner, you know, this is.
Yeah, we see a lot of Todd from, like, the elbow down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know basically. What I mean? Like, we're totally there. You know what this movie really reminded me of?
What?
In a Violent Nature.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
And it very much has that vibe. It's perhaps a little more, I guess a little more cohesive because in a sense the story is the dog.
Yes.
As opposed to it being a subversion of the story. So, it's not just, you know, a haunted house or whatever, or dark presence or whatever. movie that features a dog. This is, you know, the dog is the main character, right? So it's not like we're just watching this movie from the dog's perspective. We're like, the dog is the main character. And that's the difference, I think, between the two. But the sort of disjointed nature of the film, I think really, cemented that for me, like it being similar to In a Violent Nature, just because of like how the film's structured. It's not going to have your regular, you know, three act structure. So there's, there's sort of like an aimless quality to both plots that I think end up serving the end feeling of the film. Because while I was like, you know, part of this is kind of a challenging watch.
Yeah.
But at the end, I definitely felt like quite fulfilled. I have watched movies that are challenging watches and at the end been like, man, that was a challenging watch. You know, but this is on the better end of that spectrum because it's a challenging watch, but I think it's, you know, like a lot of my favorite movies are challenging watches, you know, Hard to Be a God is not an easy movie to watch. You know, and Antichrist by Lars von Trier, you know, these are not easy movies to watch. Aguirre, The Wrath of God, you know, these are like all my favorite movies, but, there's like something fulfilling about it in the end. And I think that Good Boy meets that level for me.
Yeah, like I was really, even like good movies, it's not uncommon for me to, you know, pause it and, I don't know, make a cup of tea or whatever. But with this one, I'm pretty sure I was basically like watching it like from start to finish, just like one sitting, like I just, you know, had my rapt attention, just kind of, like just thinking like, okay, kind of like not only like what's going on here in terms of piecing it together from Indy's perceptions, but then also, you know, at the whole time, of course, I was just saying that, you know, this movie really kind of keeps your attention, obviously find out like what happens, but at the same time, you know, you're also so, I don't know if enamored with, but you know, you love Indy the dog, right? Yeah. Just as a viewer, I was like just completely sucked in for the whole, what's it like 78 minutes, I think, or something.
Yeah, it's a short one.
Yeah, and good.
I think it's maybe 82 minutes. Is that what it is?
I don't know, but it certainly
80, works well. Oh, sorry, 72. Yeah.
So it works well because of it. But
definitely, right? There's not a lot of the opportunity for padding that a regular movie would be able to have, you know?
Yeah, and all the dialogue is like from, you know, the environment. It's not like, Indy has like an inner voice or whatever, you know, a little cartoon voice.
It's also not like an 80s movie where like a little boy befriends a dog and they go on an adventure. you know what I mean? which I appreciate.
Oh,
and also, it's sort of built in. And I definitely had this feeling with In a Violent Nature as well. Not that I want to keep harping on that, but I didn't have my phone in my hand barely at all watching this movie. I was definitely wrapped in attention. Now, before I watched it, I was trying to convince Stacy to watch it with me, you know, cause it's kind of like this interesting movie. And she's like, does the dog die? And I'm like, I don't know. I hope not. And then after we started watching it, I messaged Dwayne like 30 minutes into the movie that I turned to Stacy and I said, if this dog dies, I'm going to punch the TV like really, really hard, like need a new TV hard.
Oh.
Because Indy is quite the movie star.
Oh, yes.
He just soaks up that camera. What a,
oh God,
what a handsome boy.
Yeah. And of course, just, you know, it makes a lot of sense now that you mentioned that the writer and director, that's his dog.
Yeah.
Because just even the way Indy's like photographed, you know, like the way he's filmed is just, I don't know, just with the way that like, you're at the very least a dog lover, if not the dog's owner, just the way it focuses in sometimes and just catches certain details, you know, like just the way the light comes out, kind of comes off his fur or
you definitely, get the idea that whoever is filming this has taken pictures of this dog before.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can speak from my personal experience. So, but, yeah, just amazing.
I'm looking up just trying to see. Are you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking up just to see what else Ben Leonberg has done, and I don't recognize anything, but he's got short films going back to 2009. But yeah, he's got a couple here that sort of look interesting, but I haven't seen any of them, so or even heard much more about them, but they look interesting. So, I mean, I'll be maybe checking some of those out. I was looking because I was wondering, you know, does he appear in, or, you know, was he like a PA on, some Larry Fessenden stuff? But no, he just cast Larry Fessenden as, the sign of respect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I was really happy to, again, this is like no spoilers or anything, but I was really impressed with just how the movie ends up. Like, meaning, you know, as you're going along, you're trying to figure out exactly what's going on, and maybe get, you know, you might have your own theories and all that sort of thing. But to me, like, this, like, the ending, like, answers questions, and then also just it kind of exceeded my expectations. You know what I mean? Like, it was more than just satisfying. I was like, oh my God, you know, I loved it. So
yeah, it's certainly like unique, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like I walked away from this one just like, man, I've never seen a movie like that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
but also, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about with like the intricacies of the film, seeing as, I mean, it's 72 minutes long and, you know, the story is not, intricate or, or even really much in the way of structured. It feels very, novella-ish.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Does that make sense?
I can see that. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And that, and it probably takes place over a relatively short period of time. Like when you consider like, probably, like, I mean, human time. And,
Well, it's funny. Funny that it was filmed over, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a long time in a dog's life.
Yeah, it is. Well, I wonder, like, I don't know. Like, because there is some, like, puppy footage and stuff, right, too, right? And
right,
you
that's
can tell
true.
That it's
that's
indie.
True.
So, I don't know. I wonder if they're just kind of counting that, too? Or,
I mean,
like...
maybe. But it says they filmed for 400 days.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Over a three-year period.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's interesting, because...
It is.
I mean, like... You just imagine the unpredictability is always there when you're making movies, right? There's always challenges that pop up that you, had not even considered, let alone, you know, had the opportunity to prepare for. But, you know, when not even your main character, but like your POV character is a dog, right? It changes the way you film the movie, right? So when you're depending on the behavior of a dog and also on this sort of style of filmmaking, because it's not like one of those early 80s movies, like Incredible Journey or whatever, which, you know, they'd be pointing the camera at the cliffside and they'd direct the animals to run to the cliffside and look off. And, oh, they got this great shot. It's, you know, be no different than if a cowboy and a horse rode up to that spot and looked off. You know what I mean? It's not unique filmmaking to... to the subjects of the film like this one is. And it just like brings up all these, I don't know, potential problems, but, I don't know. I don't see that on screen. I see a sort of non-traditional story,
mm-hmm.
As far as movies are concerned. But I don't really see a movie plagued with troubles here.
No. Yeah, I guess like just the best way to, yeah, sum it up is just that it, you know, it's a horror movie with a dog protagonist from
yeah.
the dog's point of view. And that's exactly what she says. Like, it's not like, and in both, like, successfully, you know what I mean? Like, and that's like, it kind of just fulfills that promise, you know? It's not like it's like a Scooby-Doo movie where he's solving a mystery.
Right.
Or,
right.
Well, you know, or whatever. Or like, yeah, another one where he's kind of defending a human, like, well, not exactly, but you know, I don't know what. Yeah. Like a boy and his, well, not a boy and his dog either. Okay. No. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, yeah. like any dialogue you actually hear in this movie is secondary, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
just, you're hearing it because it's around the dog. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's, again, yeah. it's a strange movie. I think it's a brilliant premise. And yeah. I think it was executed pretty damn well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it very much helped that look. I mean, I'm a sucker for a pretty face. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And that, you know, and that's not like sexist in any way, because obviously like there's men whose faces were meant to be filmed, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So like you just, and it's like any of these people you see them, they're like, wow, they just, good looking person, right? Like, mm-hmm. of course yeah. they're in this movie. Of course, you know, the camera's on their face for 7 minutes or whatever, you know, like why right. not, you know, like Charlize Theron or Brad Pitt or something, right? Like these people are just sort of built to be, you know, to have their faces projected up onto, you know, like a 50-foot theater screen. And I think Indy is one of those faces. He's just like an unendingly cute dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who does a great job and as really the only actor in this movie in a lot of ways. Like, I guess his yeah. owner has a couple moments where he's saying shit and acting, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a dog to carry a film, I think it's kind of special.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Of course, it helps that there's a relationship between the dog and the director. I don't know how many times that's ever happened in movie history, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. And I think that probably is, you know, key to its success in
right.
many ways. I mean, I'm not saying that they couldn't have made a decent movie, but it wouldn't have been this, this special. It wouldn't have worked this well, I think.
I mean, they're not filming, you know, 40 days in a row, right? They're not like,
right.
you know, like slave laboring the animal actors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is much more, I think, ethical if you want to talk about like animals being
yeah.
used in film for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems so special, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you were talking about, you know, losing your guy several years ago and it still hits you, you know, we're still, we're still missing our cat Nico around these parts, but you know, like Ben Leonberg now has a feature film starring his dog that he can always look back on, which I think is absolutely wonderful, because you know, dogs don't last forever. So.
No, like, I mean, and that, you know, yeah, like it just, and I'm sure he was a filmmaker first, but I mean, even so, like, he's already done it, like bang, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, he's already got like a, you know, kind of a, I don't know, a jewel in his crown, I guess you could say. So
yeah, like, you know, what better legacy and tribute for your dog than to be, you know, the star of this horror movie that's like really unique, you know.
Yeah.
And that will be, you know, it'll be on my year-end list of favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm sure probably a lot of other people too. I'm I'm very impressed with this movie. I say that as someone, you know, who kind of had like, I don't know if I had high expectations going in, but I had, my curiosity level was off the charts for this one.
Right. Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, you realize very early on how, like, what this movie actually, you know, how this movie is actually telling the story. And it's like, oh, okay. Okay. And then I was just like, all right, I think I'm going to be okay. I'm drawn into this, this sort of non-traditional style of filmmaking. If you're interested in that, this is more than just a, you know, a supernatural presence, movie. I think it's also good in that aspect, you know, does a great job of winding up tension and, creating sort of set design scares. I think for the most part, like the geography of the movie is done really, really well.
Yeah.
And just, and again, we have a great lead actor in Indy. So, I mean, I think I'm going to give this one a 4.5.
I'm going to give it a, oh shit. I'm still riding high. I'm gonna even say 5. Like,
okay.
Besides, you know, enjoying it, a great deal, just that it really succeeds on its, you know, the terms that it kind of laid out, I guess you could say. Or its
concept. Really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so like, that's like, I couldn't really imagine it being anything better, you know what I mean?
I mean, I feel pretty much the exact same way as I did coming out of In a Violent Nature.
Right.
I have the same feeling. Like, wow, they really did that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't some gimmick, and, you know, there's very little in the way of cheating, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they just, they set the rules, and they did it. And as a result, the final product is very different than other typical entries in the genre, right? I think all those things are true for both of those movies. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's now on Shudder. Like, I think we just basically saw it like the day after it,
We're recording this on Sunday, the 23rd. Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah. And it came out on Shudder, I believe Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched it. I watched it last night. So yeah, out brand new. Go support it. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Hey, get yourself you get like a free month of Shudder or whatever when you sign up. Check it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely worth it. It's great movie. Great movie. Mm-hmm. I think this album came out last year, but, I'm still sort of enamored with this band Chatpile. They're sort of post-hardcore. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Hard to explain.
Never heard.
They, what is it? Cool. What the hell is the name of that album that came out? Cool World. Like the, speaking of Brad Pitt, right? Doesn't he star in Cool World? Opposite animated Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
Is it Kim Basinger who plays Holly? Sure was. Hollywood. Is that her name?
Anyway, yeah, I'm sure it was. Yeah, it was her, right? Yeah,
the weird '90s. This is Chatpile and their song "I Am Dog Now." Thanks, Dwayne.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.
of course, it's time for another
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right, another Dread Media Top 5. This time, we're doing a Dread Media Top 5 fictional dogs. Number 5 is coming from the world of comics, particularly DC Vertigo. In its hottest era, I'm talking about Garth Ennis's Preacher, and I'm talking about Skeeter, Jesse Custer's dog that he rescued from an abusive owner, and Skeeter was a real good boy, and actually, saved Custer's life a time or two. So, great dog from a great comic book series. Hail Skeeter. That's 5. Number 4 is Hercules, a.k.a. the Beast from The Sandlot. And this is not like a horror movie, but I love how Hercules in this movie goes from the mythical, ferocious monster to just like, you know, part of the gang. I mean, sorry for the spoilers for The Sandlot from fucking early 90s, whenever that was. When was The Sandlot? 92? 93? Anyway. Good movie. Good movie. Anyway. And a kick-ass dog. And, you know, portrayed monstrously in the first, you know, act and a bit of The Sandlot. So it's pretty fun, but a good boy in the end, right? So Hercules, or the Beast from Sandlot, is number 4. Number 3, we're going back to the world of comics, actually back to the world of DC Vertigo. A little bit later, I'm talking about the 3-issue miniseries written by Grant Morrison and drawn by Frank Quitely. I'm talking about We Three, and, you know, in particular, of course, I'm talking about Bandit, but in this story about 3 animals encased in, you know, cybernetic war armor. I don't know if that's, yeah, whatever, however it's put, and it's truly one of like the beautiful stories about and from the perspective of animals. And with Bandit as our dog, we also get a bonus here. There's Tinker the cat and Pirate the rabbit. And they're adorable, and it's a beautiful story, both visually and, story-wise. It's just, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. If you haven't read We Three, you should definitely check it out. So We Three, it's number 3, We Three. Now, number 2, character features in, I think, every iteration of this series, and I'm talking about the Omen. I'm talking about the Hellhound. Now, mainly, I'm talking about the beautiful and intimidating Rottweiler Hellhound from the original film. Also, I think, the Final Conflict one, right? Isn't there like a Doberman in that one? Anyway, but, Hellhound's cool. Hey man, it's just protecting its master. It may not be like a good boy, but, always dignified, always, always protective. And yeah, there you go. Hail Hellhound. And number one, sure, I'm just going to say, the thing in The Thing. But particularly, I want to shout out Jed. Jed is the dog. Jed is half Vancouver Island wolf, half Alaskan Malamute. And Jed was born in 1977, so he was like five in The Thing. And then a couple years later, in 85, he was in The Journey of Natty Gann. And then in 91 and 94, he was White Fang in the two White Fang movies. Bro was born in 1977 and died in 1995. Like 17 years old? Is that the right math there? Jesus. Is that right? Yeah. I think so. but yeah. Handsome ass dog, man. I mean, half wolf. Jesus Christ. Anyway. Yeah. So, hail to Jed. Hail to man's best friend, Kirby, the official dog of Dread Media. Cranky old bastard. All right. Let's talk a little bit before we play a song. I'm going to intro the song by talking a little bit about Megadeth. Because, you know, I've seen it a lot over the years. And it's happening again. But, like, I've seen Megadeth stop in, like, Kelowna, Kamloops. I think Abbotsford once as well. You know, it's crazy that they would hit these places. But, you know, and I'm sure they sell out every time, right? And Megadeth is currently on their retirement tour, essentially. And they're going all the way across Canada. Dude, nobody goes all the way across Canada. Fucking Canadian artists barely go all the way across Canada. It's a huge tour, and they're coming to Victoria. So because they're coming to Vancouver Island, I felt compelled to hit it up, because they're bringing Anthrax and Exodus with them. So I am quite stoked. That's in February, so I'll report back. In the meantime, Megadeth is also releasing their final record, but that isn't out yet. That comes, I think, in January. But I'm going to play you a song from their last record, which was called The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. And this is a pretty kick-ass tune from that record. Dogs of Chernobyl. And that is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. And if you did, you can let me know. DreadMediaPodcast@gmail.com. That's DreadMediaPodcast@gmail.com. I'm on all the things at Dread Media on Instagram, on Twitter, on Blue Sky. Dread Media is a group on Facebook. And there's a Patreon page, patreon.com/dreadmedia to support the show for $1 a month. I'm going to have, I haven't even decided what review, but next week I've got a review coming up with Tom. And then the week after that, we've got the, annual Christmas episode with Dwayne. And then the week after that, maybe not exactly the week after that. We've got the big 950 spectacular, Jesus. And then, yeah. And that's the fucking new year, bro. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's get out of here. I think, yeah, this must have been before Greg Pucciato joined the Dillinger Escape Plan. They were between singers. And yet they recorded this EP with one of my favorite vocalists of all time, Mike Patton. The EP was called Irony is a Dead Scene. It's the Dillinger Escape Plan with Mike Patton on vocals. What more do you want from me? This song is called When Good Dogs Do Bad Things. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others, and we'll see you next week. I'm the best you'll ever have.